Thank you for tuning in to Support Chatter, Partner Heroes official podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the support community and the many topics revolving around the support business. Partner Hero, people without borders, without limits.
Hello, everyone. This is Larissa Aguirre.
And I'm Daniel Hernandez.
Today, we have a very exciting and important episode. Today, we're talking about data protection with our very own privacy and security manager, Fernando Santos. Thank you for coming and for being here with us.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It's a pleasure.
So you've been in the company for a little over 2 years now, just like me. We started on the same date. Oh, the glory days. So you've recently transitioned into a data-oriented role. So can you tell us a bit about what that's been like so far?
It's been an uphill battle, and the learning curve has been just straight up. Mm-hmm. It's a complex world when you think about data protection. It gets as complicated as you want it to get, which just makes things more complicated.
Basically.
Yeah. But it's been learning a lot of different things I didn't know and catching up to some businesses that have had 2 years to prepare. Mind you, that's not a lot of time. The GDPR has only been in effect since May 25th of this year, and it's been approved for 2 years before that. And that gave businesses 2 years to transition into the GDPR and be ready for it. Brazil, for example, they just approved their own GDPR law, and it's a kind of like a sister law if you think about it. And they gave businesses 18 months to transition to what the requirements are. So it's a new topic. It's kind of like a hot topic because of it's so new, but there's no historical way of doing things. So you don't necessarily learn from how other people have done it. You just build a way for you to do it. And that's what's complicated.
And what is GDPR? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does it stand for?
General Data Protection Regulation. And it was basically a regulation built by the European Data Protection Board, created to safeguard the data subjects, which is all of us, actually. Every single human out there is the data subject for somebody else. Kind of like we are data subjects for Facebook.
Right.
When we become Facebook users.
Mm-hmm. And did GDPR come from something or some sort of event in specific, or did the European Union just decide to do this?
It's a logical pathway. It was where things were eventually going. When it comes to data right now, it's basically the oil of our century. People can sell marketing insights from what you click like on and from things you follow, places you check in at. All of that is data that's stored and then can be sold for political things. It can help aid political campaigns. I can know where to invest if I know where I'm unpopular.
Right.
And it just marketing based on data, smart marketing or however you want to call it, it's just a better way of doing things. If you build a restaurant menu with the top 10 liked foods in that area, you're most likely going to have a successful restaurant rather than not. Maybe your food sucks and the way you cook it sucks, but your menu is made tailored to a community or a demographic. So data was eventually going to become something that will be exploited, and it currently has been exploited. That's what the Cambridge incidents and Facebook try to expose, the exploitation of data. And that's why we have this kind of regulations coming into play, protecting us, the data subjects.
All right. So this is something that started in Europe. You said like something regarding 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. So it started there. And because of the Cambridge Analytica crisis, the Facebook crisis, because of that, it only promoted the migration of GDPR over to the American continent. Is that right?
Actually, it's different. GDPR doesn't necessarily isolate its effect in the European Union, but it protects only European citizens. Okay. I know that's kind of like tough to wrap your head around, but when you go into the GDPR, it's built for European Union citizens by mm-hmm. the European Data Protection Board. It protects people from the European Union. Even UK, because this was approved before the Brexit, it was in April of 2016 that the regulation was approved.
Okay.
And it changed the scope because it affects businesses who sell services to European Union citizens, regardless of where you're located. So if it's a business like Apple, they have clients in the European Union. So many businesses have clients in the European Union. We work with clients that are in the European Union or have services sold over there. So they don't just change things for the European citizen. They change the business model because it's eventually what they'll need to do. Because we work a lot with clients who request services in Portuguese. And a lot of them and our associates are located in Brazil. And Brazil just approved it. So that means for our clients who serve clients in Brazil, we'll have to prepare for the GDPR as well. And that's the point. Why just change for one group of clients that you have when this law will become the norm?
What would you say is like the most, in simple words, I'd say, what is the main difference between what was being done previously with data protection and now that GDPR has come into full function?
I love that you say keep it simple, basically. That's something I struggle with, but thank you for that. It's a good centering of myself. Actually, the biggest change is that the user is the focus. It's not about a business having the policies in place. It's actually educating your client.
Oh.
So the best thing is...
No wonder before I didn't know anything about my data.
Exactly.
Whether it was protected or not.
Right.
That's it. That's the gold. When you're not actually consciously aware of what happens to your data, that's a problem. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to fix it. It should fall on the business. They should have clear policies that are easy to access and easy to read. Not this 32-page long terms and conditions everybody skips and they just
right.
I agree and continue.
Right.
The biggest change and the one I like the most is that it shows you your data subject rights. The right to consent in and out of information, the right to erase information or request for it to be erased, and several other rights that protect different things you can do with the data that's taken from you. And consent is the first one. If it's a consent-based thing, kind of like opening a Facebook account, at the end of putting in your data and before you give your consent, you should just check their privacy policy. It's so different now. It says basically three things. What are your rights, what kind of data they take, and what they do with it. Oh, and how much time do they store it for? Basically, the four things you need to know about your data.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
You mentioned when we were talking previously about how in order to be compliant, companies need to store, for example, data from citizens from the European Union can only be stored for 30 days, I think you said it was.
That's like a good rule of thumb.
Okay.
There's this thing called assumed consent. When you're applying to a job, I assume that you are giving me consent because you sent me your application and you want a job. So you want to be reached back. So I don't need to get your consent as a recruiter. Mm-hmm. That's assumed consent. I just assume you're giving me your consent because of the action you're performing, which is applying for a job.
Okay.
So if I don't get consent to store your information for longer, I should assume 30 days is enough. And I should delete your information if you're a European citizen who's applying to a job with us after 30 days. However, businesses have to get creative and workarounds because you don't want to lose your candidate pool. That's mm-hmm. just counterintuitive. And if you want to keep it, you just need to inform the user that you're going to keep it. And it's as simple as that. It's educating the user. So if I'm applying to Partner Hero, at the end, I'll be able to see that it says, can we keep your information for up to 6 months or 12 months in case any openings come up your way? And if you type in yes, that's you've given affirmed and acknowledging consent of they're going to have my information for up to a year in case a new opening happens.
These disclaimers, are these going to start being made to everyone regardless of their nationality?
Most businesses do it that way. They change the whole way of doing things. They just don't change for the European side of things. Because that's also kind of backhanded to your mm-hmm. clients if you're just changing for the Europeans
yeah.
and not for everyone in general.
True. Now that you've explained to us what GDPR means and the basic definition of it, how does that apply to Partner Hero specifically?
To us, it's a bit more complicated. It was a big thing. Once I took a step back and started looking at the business model, we do outsourcing, we serve clients that do different things in
Correct.
Different countries. So data protection becomes a jack of all trades kind of thing, because we need to know how to protect data when we're doing design work for a partner, when we're doing engineering work for a partner, then when we're doing customer support for a sensitive partner. We work with Grindr and they process mostly sensitive personal data.
Yeah.
That kind of data requires extra layers of protection. It's a bit different. Actually, a whole lot different than if you're protecting data for Udemy, one of our other clients, that they do e-learning and they sell e-learning material online. So it's two different things and you have to do them in two different ways. So for us, it means understanding our partners' needs and getting from them, how do you expect us to protect our data on your behalf? Because once they hand us the information and their client's data, they're trusting us to process it securely.
Yeah.
So for us to do this at our best, we need to understand what they need.
Mm-hmm.
We should always have standards.
And like, is this where your role comes in?
Yes.
Okay.
As privacy and security management, what you do is you set expectations for the business.
Mm-hmm.
First, for the business as a whole, for what we do. We're doing hiring as business. That's one of our biggest parts in business model. We hire a lot. And we're constantly hiring for different partners. So we need to protect a lot of applicant data. That's a big part of what we do. And then it's focusing on all of the partners and what each of them do differently, how different expectations means different changes in internal processes and ways of doing things. For Grindr, they have a very well-invested team, and they made a lot of changes to how they protect data. And it's just really great to see how businesses are taking it seriously as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends from partner to partner. One can be a simple mechanism and a simple way of fixing things, or just fixing processes and making sure that data is protected within that process. And for different partners, it's a bit more complicated.
So being GDPR compliant, as a company in America, Honduras specifically, it is beneficial for us because we gain worldwide respect. And people start looking, if they start looking for an outsourcing company, they look, oh, look, Partner Hero is a GDPR compliant. Let's go with them instead of looking at other companies that might not even be aware of this or haven't engaged, correct?
Exactly. And it's important to have an aesthetic and to actually make sure you're building a front of GDPR compliance. You have resources for your partners. That's where we're building up privacy help centers so that partners can educate themselves on third-party relationships, because that's just a different kind of way of looking at GDPR. The GDPR affects public hospitals, and they're not going to look at it the same way that we do.
Of course.
And this big difference is mean for different kind of changes. How it benefits us is that we do get better marketing or brownie points when it comes to marketing.
Yeah.
It's better if you're GDPR compliant. So if your aesthetic says that, hey, I'm GDPR compliant, people are going to trust you more. There's no badge of, boom, you're GDPR compliant. There's no seal. There's none of that yet.
Okay.
What you can have is a really backed up team. You can use tools. Some of them offer like a badge that you can use, but they're not actually authorized to confirm your compliance. They can say that you're committed towards compliance and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the best way to look compliant is to be compliant and share that. Share how you've done it, how you've achieved it, because it's not an easy thing. And it gets your respect, because as business owners go, they're going to trust more a business that looks compliant rather than a shoddy one where you don't know where data is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is this tool that you were talking about?
There's several online. I'm a particular fan of eComply because it's very simple and easy to use.
Okay, and what does this help you do?
Helps me organize what I need to organize before I do it. So it helps me understand the business model. Most of it. It helps you map out where data goes.
Okay.
So basically, you just single out people operations looks at this data. Recruitment data and who has access to it. And it lets you structure all of these things.
Okay.
So that gotcha. Looking at the big picture is not intimidating, but it's actually helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'm thinking about the implications of how this can affect, let's say, someone in my role. The partners that I work for here at Partner Hero, they're not necessarily explicit about being compliant, but since they're a tech startup, I'm assuming they are. We do handle their data, you know, according to GDPR, and we do get rid of data whenever we don't need it. But how can I, as someone that's in direct contact with users, can provide this sort of safety feel or let our users know that we are indeed compliant? Because some people will come to us saying like, hey, I want to unsubscribe according to GDPR. So whenever someone comes to me saying that, I actually get a bit tense because it's like, all right, maybe if I do things wrong, they're gonna either file a complaint or something. So how can we provide this security to let people know that we are GDPR compliant? GDPR, sorry.
It's a whole bunch of things, but the most direct ways of making that change is training and educating your people, helping them understand. So you will receive some training in which you're going to learn how it affects your role directly. Mm-hmm. Certain partners do not need to be compliant immediately because they're US-based services only. If you're a US-based services, that means you're lower in the priority list for compliance because it's not required. You're not serving European Union citizens. But if you are, then it just becomes part of training.
Okay, interesting.
Training is like the big one. If people are not aware of what they need to protect, how can you expect them to protect it? That's a reasonable question. I cannot tell you protect data and I'm not telling you which data. Mm-hmm. And where do you need to protect it? And in what kind of scenarios that data needs to be protected? So you need to receive this kind of training.
And who's in charge of giving out these trainings as of now?
Me.
Okay.
Yeah. It depends. It goes down as a priority list. There are different kind of partners that do different kind of services. You manage sensitive data, boom, you're on the top of the list. If you just manage a huge amount of data, like one of our clients, Udemy, is the biggest one. They manage so much data because there are so many people. And that means you're also higher up in the priority list. It just depends on how much it's needed.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Cool. Ultimately then, how would you think you would describe, let's say a business is starting and they want to be compliant from the get-go, what is the one initial step they should give?
That's a great question. Mostly because businesses, when they're starting, they get the chance to implement privacy by design.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the thoughts and musings that GDPR pushes forward in the law itself. It says, design your process with privacy in mind. Make sure that if a new process is being cooked up, that you're understanding where data is going, who has access to it, and how it's protected. So if you're a new business owner, a new entrepreneur, you're building your own thing, it's the best time to actually implement privacy practices. You won't have to spend money or time catching up to compliance once it becomes a requirement, but you're already building compliance. And the best thing, you're already ingraining that into your people. If everything is built with privacy by design, you'll have a workforce that understands this because it's ingrained in their processes. So compliance will be one of many things that makes your business and not something that you'll need to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually marketable. It only has benefits. Users feel better. Your partners feel better. Third parties feel better. Everyone feels comfortable because we know where things are.
So everyone should do it then.
Yes.
Everyone should, correct.
And they have to.
All right. That's really great information. Fernandos, thank you so much for being with us today. That's pretty much all the time we have. And I do see how this is going to be, or why this has been such a popular topic in the recent months, and why it encompasses so much importance, you know, in the business all in all, because I have read a lot of articles. I have seen a lot of videos. This is something that it has been all over the news, and it makes sense now. Now that we have a better understanding of what it means and what it complies, then I totally understand and I totally see the importance of it. So thank you so much for taking the time of stopping by and explaining this to everyone. I'm sure they will appreciate all of this info and insight. And that's pretty much all the time that we had, like I mentioned. Thanks so much, guys, and until next time.
Thank you for having me.